KPBS On Demand is supported by Project Blank, presenting Working Title, its fifth annual exhibition of art and music, featuring works by artists from across the San Diego region, including an immersive world premiere by Michelle Liu, May 28 through 30. Details at projectblanksd.org.
Welcome in, San Diego. It's Jade Hindman. On today's show, a proposed sales tax could generate funding for the cross-border sewage contamination crisis. We'll talk about it. This is KPBS Midday Edition, connecting our communities through conversation. So this fall, San Diego voters could decide to raise the sales tax by half a cent. It's a measure widely supported by labor unions and advocacy groups. They submitted thousands of signatures to the county yesterday. Well, tax revenue could go toward funding for the cross-border sewage crisis, among other efforts. KPBS environment reporter Tammy Murga spoke to supporters, and she joins me now to talk about it. Tammy, welcome back.
Hi, Jade. Thank you for having me.
Always great to have you here in studio. Before we get into the specifics here, give us a refresher. Where does the cross-border pollution problem stand right now?
Sure. I think it's really important to always start off with, you know, understanding the crux of the problem here, which is really the lack of solid wastewater treatment infrastructure that has existed for many years. But I think right now is a really interesting time. We're sort of in a critical waiting period. Mexico and the U.S. are upgrading their treatment plants and pipelines that are really supposed to keep the sewage away from the Tijuana River. And as we know, the river is the main source of pollution for communities in both sides of the border. These upgrades are in agreement between both nations, and they're supposed to help stop the sewage flows completely. We're supposed to see gradual improvements in water quality with some of these projects that are underway. However, in recent months, we've seen just how bad the air quality has gotten, and you know, levels of hydrogen sulfide, which is a byproduct of wastewater, they've shot up. The data shows us that they've really surpassed federal and state thresholds, and that's happened after a lot of pipeline breaks in Mexico. And that's concerning. I think this has really shown us the level of underinvestment that Mexico's wastewater system has had for so long. And I think the public really is understanding that a lot needs to happen. And I think these people are really frustrated. They're really frustrated with saying, okay, we have construction projects that are underway, but when will we have some relief? I think we're sort of waiting to see the benefits of these projects.
Yeah, well, so it sounds like the situation is getting worse. And at the heart of this are people and residents who live and work in the region. Talk to me about them. What does this crisis mean for them? How is this impacting their day-to-day?
Yeah, I mean, it's really, it seems like the air is really where people are really frustrated about, because as we've heard many times again, people are really struggling to decide what to do, just do basic things, right? Should I close my window? Should I open my window? When to do it? People are reporting symptoms like headaches, nausea still that are continuing, and these past couple of months it's really worsened. And I think, you know, the data is there from scientists from UCSD and SDSU, as well as the San Diego Air Pollution Control District. Their data shows just how much these levels are surpassing, and they really just validate the concerns that people have been raising for a long time. There's been a lot of advocacy, too, from local elected officials, really calling again on the governor of California to, you know, declare a state of emergency. And I think that's where this stands. It's sort of like renewed effort again. But really, the problem persists. People are literally sick. Mm-hmm. They're frustrated.
Any sense of why the governor hasn't declared a state of emergency in this?
Yeah, I think this administration's argument stands that it is a federal problem. Of course, arguable locals here and local elected officials that really say, well, you know, this is a problem that's happening in California's backyard. There's a lot that the state can do, but the administration, the state administration says this really just lands in federal, it has to do with federal property and in federal land, and they should be the ones to fully take care of it.
And yet, it seems like here locally, people are working to find solutions. So let's talk about this proposed sales tax increase. Because you were outside the San Diego County Registrar of Voters yesterday, where you spoke with labor unions and advocacy groups. What did you hear from them?
Sure. Yeah, there were several residents there who are affected by this pollution, and also a lot of environmental advocates that are pushing for solutions. One of them was Waylon Mattson. He co-founded the nonprofit Four Walls International. They do really cool work. They turn trash into literal building blocks for schools, rec centers, and homes. And through that work, he's advocated for fixes for the sewage crisis. But yesterday, he found kind of a new angle to this, a new support locally here, and that's for this measure. He said collecting that many signatures, about 160,000 or so, is more than a milestone.
A signal that communities across San Diego County are no longer willing to accept chronic pollution, beach closures, and the ongoing exposure to contaminated air and water.
So the signatures were submitted yesterday, but before it's put on the ballot, what needs to happen?
Right. There's a whole process to this. It doesn't just mean, you know, we submitted it and it's on the ballot. The Register of Voters has 30 days, about a month, to verify the signatures. And then to qualify for the November ballot, says they need about 103,000 to actually be placed in the November ballot, and that's what supporters really hope. They say that, you know, they've collected more than enough. I'm hearing about 151,000 to 160,000, but of course, there's, as I mentioned, a whole process. Those need to be verified first.
So let's say this measure does pass. How big of an impact would it have on cross-border sewage contamination?
Yeah, I mean, it could really set aside a steady stream of funding for solutions locally. Supporters estimate that this measure would bring in about $360 million, and about 22.5% of that total would be set aside for the sewage crisis. How exactly would that money be spent if voters approve the measure? I think there's nothing really set in stone just yet. But ultimately, county leaders would decide how to spend it. But it could go toward more infrastructure projects, more air purifiers for residents, or even health studies. That's something that advocates say they would really like to see. I think there's interest in having local governments have a say in how to spend this money, and that because they're the ones that can see firsthand what their constituents need.
So it would help with some of the to treat some of the symptoms of this big problem. Have there been any estimates on how much it would cost to actually fix the problem?
Sure. I mean, when it comes to like health studies, right, that's something that the county is already looking into. But I can't remember the exact amount, but we're talking millions of dollars here to put something like that together. And this takes time.
Yeah.
So they're definitely, I mean, something like this could bring in, as I mentioned, that steady funding for something like this. The county is already looking at removing a hotspot on Sander Boulevard in the Tijuana River Valley. And there's also, I mean, really, when it comes to the actual infrastructure in the U.S., we've already know that $600 million have been secured to fix this. And that's a project that's going to, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. It takes years for that, right? So there's definitely a need for consistent funding here.
Right. Well, funds from this particular measure would also go towards a number of other social services. Tell me a bit about that.
Yeah, it's not just for the Tijuana River sewage crisis. Funds would also go to a host of social and public services. And that's why yesterday we saw parents, healthcare workers, child service workers as well, and firefighters yesterday at the Registrar of Voters. So about 60% would go toward healthcare and childcare to make that more affordable, more accessible. And that could look like vouchers for families so that they can have the say in what kind of care to choose. And it could also go toward health coverage for uninsured or underinsured low-income county residents. About 17.5% would go for wildfire prevention, and that could look like upgrading firefighting equipment and investing in more brush clearing, and also to bolster crisis response services, you know, making the regional emergency 911 communications better. And the last remaining amount, which is 1.5%, would go towards salaries, benefits, all those administrative services to execute this.
Well, okay, so if the sales tax passes, how will we ensure the money goes where it's supposed to go? That's always a question there.
Yeah, definitely. So in the proposal, there's a specific section that says, you know, if this passes, how do you ensure that the funds are spent adequately? And it suggests creating an 11-member citizen oversight committee. This group would not be elected. The Board of Supervisors would need to appoint them. And they would have to be people with experience in public finance, emergency services, childcare services, and environmental science. So, as you know, these are all related to what the measure would fund if it passes.
All right. So how is this proposed measure different than other efforts to address the crisis?
Yeah, this is different in the sense that it would create an ongoing source of funding specifically to address the sewage crisis. And that's something that doesn't really exist or hasn't really existed. Local elected leaders and the binational agency that manages the wastewater treatment plant here in the U.S., they have to beg Congress or state lawmakers for funding every year. They're lobbying. They're going to Washington all the time and asking for funding every year. And if that funding doesn't come, then, you know, where would we be right now? So This is really just something that I think a lot of people would be excited about, because it's again something that's consistent in our county budget.
Sounds optimistic. And of course, though, we know that every penny counts in San Diego.
Right.
So with a half-cent sales tax increase, I mean, how likely is this to pass?
Right. I mean, I know we're talking about optimism here for solutions, but of course, you know, any sales tax for a region that's already facing a really high cost of living, it's challenging, right? There's a challenge to actually pass it. I mean, 2 years ago, there was another countywide sales tax that failed to pass, and that was for transportation projects. So, I mean, really, I think it's still too early to say who will oppose it and what their arguments will be. I will say, you know, this morning I reached out to the San Diego Taxpayers Association and about their stance. They said they'll be taking a position in the coming weeks.
All right. I've been speaking with Tammy Murga. She's environment reporter for KPBS, and you can check out her full story at kpbs.org. Tammy, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jade.
That's our show for today. I'm your host, Jade Hindman. Thanks for tuning in to Midday Edition. Be sure to have a great day on purpose, everyone.
KPBS On Demand is supported by Bilhaus Plumbing, Heating, and Air Flood and Restoration Services. Family-owned and operated for over 46 years, Bilhaus has been serving San Diego homeowners with home services since 1980. Bilhaus' full-service team offers heating and air solutions along with dedicated flood and restoration services and an expert plumbing team. Their trained professionals are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to respond to both routine needs and unexpected emergencies. Bilhaus is committed to providing excellent communication, transparent pricing, and quality workmanship on every job. Appointments can be scheduled by phone, online, or through live chat at their website. Call 1-800-BILHOW or visit bilhow.com, because we know how.